Nolite timere pusillus Grex, quia complacuit patri vestro dare vobis regnum. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Fear not, little flock, for it hath pleased your Father to give you a kingdom. Sell what you possess and give alms. Make to yourselves bags which grow not old, a treasure in heaven which faileth not, where no thief approacheth, nor moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Having so recently celebrated the triumph of our blessed Lord over sin and death, today our loss seems to return us in sorrow to Calvary, to our sorrowful mother and Saint John before our crucified Lord. We return in spirit to the foot of the cross to mourn the loss of the earthly presence of Jessica Hanna, our sister in Christ, our friend. It is not in vain that we bring our hearts laden with sorrow to Calvary once more. It is not in vain that we relive Good Friday and the death of Christ for her, our sister, who has died in Christ. For it is there on that sacred Mount Calvary that we may look upon him whom we have pierced. The Sacred Heart has been transfixed, has been wounded, more by force of his love for us than by the force of the centurion's lance. As St. Augustine insists, the gate of life has been thrown open in the very opening of the Sacred Heart. On Divine Mercy Sunday, the day after Jessica went to her eternal reward, our faith was strengthened by the doubt of St. Thomas as we contemplated with him the open wounds that remain on our Lord's glorified body. Wounded by love, that Sacred Heart remains open still and will remain open for all eternity. Brothers and sisters, it is to that gate of life that we, united in faith, bring Jessica this day, commending her to the infinite mercy of our blessed Lord. We bear her to the door of the Divine Heart that was opened on Good Friday to redeem her. As we bear Jessica in faith by our prayers, let us not be ashamed also to bear sorrow in our hearts. Many may accuse us by saying that our tears reveal that we do not truly believe in the resurrection of the body, as though each tear we shed were a denial of the life to come. Far from denying eternal life, however, our tears instead reveal the truth of our love for our sister, Jessica. Though death has dissolved our earthly bonds, our souls remain united to hers by baptism, by charity, by affection. It is not in vain that we bear our sorrow to the Lord of life. It is not in vain that we shed our tears before the altar of salvation. Grace, our participation in the divine life, does not destroy nature, but perfects it. It is natural and fitting that we mourn the loss of a woman so dear to us, whose example we esteemed and whose goodness we knew. However, it is also by divine grace that the tears we sow in sorrow today will bear fruits of Christian virtue. Our tears will be holy if they produce in us the graces Jessica herself received, fruits of ever greater abandonment to the divine will, of an ever greater hatred of sin, of an ever greater love of the divine heart of our Savior. Jessica would be the first to tell us to embrace the cross of sorrow presented to us today in a spirit of reparation and love. Her life was adorned with miraculous treasures that we ourselves must be diligent not to take for granted. They form a spiritual inheritance that she herself bequeaths to us this day, and we must be careful to cultivate it. She was granted the grace to place her heart in eternal treasures that never corrupt, and it is to these treasures that she directs our hearts. In 2020, when her illness threatened, and the doctors counseled the death of her son Thomas, with whom she was then pregnant, she made the only choice her loving faith would accept. And to save her son, she chose life in the fullest sense. The world that counseled his death is a world where the worth of a life is measured in comfort, in ease, in material wealth, both in possessions and in the body. Jessica, in a sense, sold these possessions to save her son and to purchase true life, to store up treasures for her family and for us, treasures that never fail. Instead of this world of comfort, she chose instead the world of the life to come, whose comfort is the cross, whose currency is charity. In the Book of Wisdom we read, "The souls of the righteous are in the hand of God, and no torment will ever touch them. In the eyes of the foolish, they seemed to have died, and their departure was thought to be a disaster, and their going from us to be their destruction. But they are at peace. For though in the sight of others they were punished, their hope is full of immortality. Having been disciplined a little, they will receive great good, because God tested them and found them worthy of himself. Like gold in the furnace, he tried them, and like a sacrificial burnt offering, he accepted them." Let us not then, even for a moment, imagine that our prayers for a miracle were not heard because Jessica was called forth from this life. In faith, we know that the greatest miracles of grace occur where the divine heart speaks to our human heart, and these miracles Jessica enjoyed in abundance. Throughout the public ministry of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, many were the miracles of healing that accompanied his passage. To name but a few, the healing of the man born deaf and mute, the healing of the man born blind, the healing of the lame man crippled for nearly 40 years, and finally the powerful raising of Lazarus from the dead, which occurred shortly after the Holy Gospel of this very Mass. Let us not forget that each of these physical healings was merely a sign of the spiritual healing that was the true goal of our Savior's earthly mission. By our sins, we too are deaf to the call of divine grace. We too are mute, unable to sing the true love and praise of our blessed Lord. We too are blinded by sin to the vanity of this world and the value of eternity. Like the lame man, by our worldliness, we stumble on the path of virtue, unable to run the race of our salvation. Alas, by our rejection of Christ our God, we often die a death worse than Lazarus. Yet it is the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ and that precious wound of his Sacred Heart that heals our souls by the miracles of his grace. Baptized into his death and resurrection, restored to life by the sacraments, we who were spiritually deaf and mute may hear the divine word in his holy church. We may now speak words of peace in the Holy Spirit. Our eyes may be opened to what truly matters. How precious is eternity, how fleeting all that is earthly. We who stumbled in sin may now rise and run after the bridegroom of our souls, the only heart that can truly satisfy us. And lastly, we may rise from the death of sin itself, born unto new life in him who died to free us by the words, "I absolve you." There is no greater miracle than to imagine a soul born a child of wrath, now destined by grace to be a co-heir together with God the Son himself, made man. To these greater miracles, Jessica remains a living beacon. Even as her body grew weaker, the power of grace in her grew stronger. Yes, for a time, by a singular favor, she was restored in body, a time to be a little longer a witness to the love of our Lord, both to her family and to us. Yet as we prayed that she be delivered from cancer in the body, it pleased our Lord more to deliver her from any cancer of the soul. We wished that she might enjoy again a body delivered from the movements of pain. It pleased the Sacred Heart more to deliver her will ever more greatly from movements of sin. We will honor her memory more, therefore, by blessing the Lord who wrought such wonders in his servant Jessica. We will honor her by a life not squandered on the restless tides of the earthly, but already founded on the sure shores of eternity. This Holy Mass is offered for the repose of her immortal soul as we commend Jessica to our blessed Lord and perform the final acts of charity that we may to her earthly remains. It is not in vain that we offer prayers and supplications for one who is already such a beacon of hope and grace to us. Our blessed Lord, in his divine providence, has hidden from us the final state of his daughter Jessica. While we very reasonably hope that she has already been loosed from the bonds of her sins and all the temporal punishment due to sin, our blessed Lord denies us this certainty. Our God asks of us, just as he asked so often of Jessica, our loving faith and our humble trust. Our prayers for her eternal repose are not an expression of fear, but rather than the confession of our charity for Jessica and our confidence in the Lord who redeems her. Come then, let us place at the foot of the altar, at the feet of our loving Lord, all of our doubts and anxieties, all of our fears and worries at this sorrowful moment. As we turn now to the Eucharistic sacrifice, let us commend Jessica most especially to the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, Gate of Heaven. Let us be confident, as St. Paul says to the Philippians, that the work our Lord has begun in Jessica will be brought to perfection. May it be brought to perfection in her eternal rest, but also in her abiding witness in our own lives. The divine treasures we pray that she will soon enjoy, she ardently desired for each of her friends and acquaintances. Treasures of love, treasures of freedom from sin, treasures of the Sacred Heart for whom she lived and in whom she died, treasures that never fail. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.